I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. An interesting and thought-provoking play is being staged this week at the University of Vermont by the theater department. Though, I suppose, aren't they all interesting and thought-provoking? The Exonerated tells the story of six death row inmates who were wrongfully convicted and later had their convictions overturned and were released. They're true stories taken from personal interviews, letters, court transcripts, and case files. In addition to the play, UVM is holding community conversations after some of the performances to discuss the questions and conundrums that arise for audiences after watching. We're going to talk about both the play and those issues today on Vermont Edition. I'm joined by Gregory Ramos, chair of UVM's theater department and director of the production, The Exonerated. Gregory, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We're also joined by Randall Harp, who plays one of the characters in the play and is a philosophy professor at UVM. Professor Harp, Randall, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You play Robert Earl Hayes in the play. Can you tell us a little bit about his story?
Robert Earl Hayes was working at a racetrack in Florida at the time that he was arrested on suspicion of murdering a white woman who also worked at the racetrack. And as his story unfolds in the course of the play, we hear that there was evidence that the victim had hair perhaps from her assailant, which was white hair, which was not allowed in the first trial. And partly because of that, his conviction was later overturned.
What's it like to play that character? How do you embody that role or get yourself into his character?
Part of it just involves kind of figuring out what his perspective is, both on the events that led him to be initially brought into the criminal justice system and then his process for dealing with and living through it. So the play is pretty good, I think, at laying out these characters' experiences through a long, through a lot of the process, not just kind of how they feel upon being charged, but also how they felt being incarcerated, how they felt upon their release, how they felt about trying to reacclimate themselves to society afterwards. So it's partly just figuring out his perspectives on all of these different events and then trying to meld that into some kind of coherent whole.
Did you do research beyond what the play has? You know, you obviously have your lines and you have what's written out for you as this character, but when you're portraying a real person, you know, you can go to Wikipedia. You can find out more. Have you sort of searched for him and figured out what he's up to now and what he thinks about the play?
I've done a little bit of research. I looked at some details about the trial itself, as well as some kind of critical reactions, both in favor of and against the play. And I tried to not look too much into, you know, his life immediately after the play, how the play affected him, his life now.
Why not?
Partly because it makes just for bad storytelling. I mean, you know, when you're trying, you know, I think it is important to understand that the information that makes it into the play, you know, it's assembled for artistic reasons. And so it's not to say that the material in the play is not accurate. The material in the play is, again, called from interviews, called from court transcripts. But it's also curated for artistic purpose. And I think sometimes, you know, reality is always a lot messier than the sorts of stories we can try to present in, you know, in art or on theater. And so I think just trying to figure out how to make the story work best on stage, it's important to not try to figure out all the different things that might be happening with this actual person and just figure out how this person is working within the world of the player on stage.
Right. And in some ways, you know, this is art. This is theater. It's not necessarily journalism. I mean, it's based in truth, but it is still art and it is still positioned in a place in time. So doing that extra research to find out, you know, up-to-the-minute facts is not necessarily helpful to the art itself.
That's right. So, you know, one of the things which Greg has pointed out from the beginning, when, you know, as the actors were kind of working on how to put this together, was thinking about this as a kind of docudrama, right, where, you know, in this kind of genre of docudrama, okay, you know, obviously a lot of it is going to be drawn from real things, but it's still being presented for a reason, right? Things are being assembled and edited for a reason. And, you know, docudramas are one way of telling a story or one way of putting forward a perspective, but there's always going to be some editing involved.
Gregory Ramos, there's also a reason to present this play as part of the UVM Theater Department's season, as part of the university's productions. Why did you want to do The Exonerated?
Oh, that is a great question. Well, we're always trying to think of ways of programming content that is going to be of interest to our audiences, and we're always trying to grow audiences. Without an audience, there is no theater. There's a lot that goes into planning a season. But one of the things we were clear on going into the year is we wanted to do something that was going to provide a lot of community engagement. And I had known about this play for a number of years, and I've been wanting to do it as a challenge for myself as a director. We plan way in advance, and it's very interesting. This often happens when you select a play. Who knew, some of the national incidences and even local incidences as recent as last week at the University of Vermont that actually touch on themes that are addressed in the play. So we anticipated that this would be a very topical play, not just because of the issues around the criminal justice system, but the play really touches on issues of power and privilege and race and, touches on the notion that there's a disproportionate number of individuals of color that are incarcerated. So, I think we tend to think of ourselves in this state and in this area as a progressive folks who are always looking at social issues and how we can respond in the most ethical and effective ways of really advancing our societies and our communities. And this is a play that gives us a launching point to start digging into those conversations.
Well, we're talking about the play today. It's called The Exonerated, and we're looking at some of the issues that it raises, as Gregory Ramos was just telling us about, these ideas of race, of criminal justice, of wrongful conviction. But you said you wanted to do this play as a challenge to yourself as a director. Why? What's challenging about it as a director?
Well, I've learned a lot. Docudrama works in a very particular kind of way. The placement of actor bodies in space is a different... The nature of that is different than working on most plays are like realistic dramas or musicals, which have their own kind of necessities. It's a particular...
So the blocking is different? Actor bodies in space just sounds like
title for a band. Was that pretentious? I was being a pretentious director for a second. I would say, for me, that's what... staging a play comes down to, making decisions about how to place actor bodies in space. And when I say it's different, it's because most plays that we direct that touch on realism and relationships, as a director, you're making decisions around how to place blocking that is telling a physical story. And because this play is a series of monologues and a number of flashback scenes that are based on real life material, interviews and court transcripts, that the relationship between the bodies and the space is going to be different. So that's a big directorial challenge.
And do you think you've mastered it?
I've mastered it. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, I think, it's always my goal as a director sometimes we forget when you're making theater, you're making art. It's an art form. And I hope that there is a visual aesthetic that is pleasing in the same way that we hope that there's an emotional journey for the audience that will be pleasing.
Will you tell us about one of the other characters, one of the other stories in the play?
Sure. The only female character that's depicted in the play is Sunny Jacobs. She was, it's a very interesting story because both she and her husband were convicted. He was actually executed. The play reaches a culmination and climax when Sunny reveals her experience of losing her husband in that manner. I won't say any more about it than that, but she's a really interesting character because that is a character that brings to light some of what I think it's safe to say are flaws in the criminal justice system with regard to how trials take place and what kind of evidence is admissible and what isn't, which led in their case to both of them being incarcerated.
Randall, what have you taken out of the play in terms of questions about our criminal justice system, questions about incarceration, questions about race and incarceration. I mean, those are all big. We've done, you know, shows on all of those just individually. But this must raise questions for you or emotions just in portraying this character and thinking about these issues.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things which I think is always useful to remember is, you know, criminal justice reform is difficult. You know, and if it were easy, it would have been done already, right? If it's something that everyone could agree on, it would have been done already. And one of the things which the play is able to do, I think, is to just say, look, okay, here are stories. Here are real stories, real cases, real events. And I think they help to motivate people to see why some of these questions need to be answered, you know, need to be addressed, and why some of these changes need to be made. That's not to say I think that anybody kind of watching the play will come out with a decision that, oh, these are exactly the sorts of changes that need to happen. Sometimes there are obvious things where you say, oh, look, yeah, that itself seemed like it was unjust and that needs to change. But I think that, you know, again, the play, it's a 90-minute play. And it's trying to tell six stories. And so six stories in 90 minutes, and you're not going to have the time to really delve into a lot of the details of any particular story. What you can give instead is a kind of thematic overview of the sorts of issues which aren't working and which need addressing.
What do you think isn't working?
That's an interesting
smile you just gave me.
Yes. I mean, I suspect that this show also is not long enough to go into all the details. I mean, so when you talk about the criminal justice system overall, you're talking about everything from kind of, you know, early interactions that citizens have with law enforcement of various kinds, of kind of entry into the system one way or another, of being processed through the system, of, you know through the court system, if someone is incarcerated, of being in jail or in prison. If someone is paroled, the process of getting parole, of being on parole, if in capital cases, the process of being judged sufficiently guilty to warrant execution by the state. If someone gets out of jail, you know, the kind of the parole process, the process of being reintegrated into society. I think that none of those areas are currently working all that well. And so, you know, all of them need some kind of adjustment. And the sorts of changes and of course, the problem sometimes is that it's very difficult to make changes in one area without also making changes in other areas for them to be effective. And so it requires a lot of kind of coordination among a lot of different agents in the system to try to make things actually better. I mean, I honestly think that a lot of people who are involved in the system one way or another are trying to do the best they can with the sorts of decisions they have to make. And I just think that, you know, that these sorts of large-scale structural issues about how the system needs to change to not have these large injustices happen, again, I think that's a very big question, and one which probably can't be delved into in sufficient detail here. Although, I hope that the play and shows like this help to, I don't like to say just start the conversation because that's usually a trite phrase, which doesn't mean very much. But, you know, if people start thinking about what sorts of things need to happen, I think that's a good start for, you know, kind of having the political courage and will to actually make these changes down the line.
Is that part of the reason for staging the play, Gregory Ramos? I mean, do you want people to take political action or to see humanity in these characters? I mean, what do you think about that idea of pushing people through the art?
Well, I think that is a central function of art. That, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the play is, you know, part of a legacy, a kind of a trajectory in the line of political theater, you know, that we adopted in this country in the early part of the 20th century based on German models of agitprop theater, Bertolt Brecht and others who were creating theater for social change. And the objective of those early works was for the audience to leave and actually take action, actually do something that would affect the direction we're taking our society. I really believe that this play is a play that is part of that trajectory of political theater that is asking the audience how, you know, to question how what their role is as a citizen of society. And awareness is key. You know, when we're aware of things that are happening, we can make a personal decision. Am I going to participate in this? Am I not going to participate in this? And these are really interesting questions, right? There are only so many hours in a day, and we are all, you know, people have work and some people have families, and, you know, I really feel like increasingly in the world we live in today, we just don't have the bandwidth to take time to address certain issues. So the hope is that when you actually experience, you know, what theater does is it allows you to have some kind of visceral emotional response to stories that you're hearing when done right. So, you know, I hope that there are some people who through awareness will at least start thinking about these things, and whether these individuals take action is certainly up to them. But yeah, I think awareness is key in what we're trying to do with mounting shows like this.
You can imagine, though, that at least some in the audience would look at these six stories and say, well, none of these people was convicted of a crime in Vermont. Vermont doesn't have the death penalty. Vermont has a relatively low incarceration rate. We certainly have an overabundance of people of color in our prison system in Vermont. But you could see people saying, well, these particular stories, again, we don't have the death penalty. I don't have to worry about this where I live. You know, this is sort of stories about other parts of the country where things are really bad, and sort of, you know, in some ways wash their hands of it, because, you know, we like to think of ourselves as this progressive state where these kinds of things don't happen.
Right. Well, you know, I would say to that, the nature of theater, you know, nature of theater is that it's a metaphorical art form. And I think that this play, like many good plays, work on a multiple levels. So I think there is content in this play with regard to power structures, with regard to race relations, with regard to, how we perceive each other. You know, this is sort of, you know, probing into what Randall offered us a couple of moments ago. But, you know, we're all citizens of this place beyond Burlington and beyond the state of Vermont. I'm trying to figure out how to answer this question without giving too much away that's in the play. But suffice it to say, I think that there's enough metaphorical content there that will provide local audiences with a lot to think about.
Today we're talking about the play The Exonerated, being staged at UVM this week. We're talking with the play's director, Gregory Ramos, and one of the actors starring in the play, Randall Harp. He plays Robert Earl Hayes. We're looking at themes of incarceration, criminal justice, and race through the play's narrative. Randall Harp, you in your normal day-to-day non-superhero actor life are a professor of philosophy. And my understanding is that you haven't been deeply involved in acting in recent years. So how did you get involved in this production?
That's a good question. I spoke with Gregory in the spring just about, you know, things that he was doing. And he had mentioned that he was putting on this play. It seemed like a great opportunity for me. I'm currently on sabbatical this year, which means that I'm not teaching classes. I'm doing research. Some of my research does, you know, touch on issues that are dealt with in the play, nature of kind of moral responsibility and kind of, you know, societal issues and arrangements of society and societal institutions, things like that. But it was also important for the play that the stories that are told in the play be kind of presented as authentically as possible. And part of that means kind of having racially authentic casting. So part of the magic of theater is that you actually have these people in front of you, right? And so it actually carries an additional bit of weight to actually see these stories represented in front of you. And so it becomes important sometimes, I think, especially in kind of in a docudrama genre, to, you know, see, especially when they're kind of when some of the injustices in the criminal justice system are tracking racial lines, to be able to see that racial inequity on stage itself. And so I think there was some need to have some additional Black actors in the cast. And I had done some acting in a past life, right? You know, in graduate school, I'd done a few things. But I also, again, had wanted to, over my sabbatical, try to connect some of the things which I work on as a philosopher with I was trying to expand those into other areas. And this seemed like a very good opportunity for me to think about some of the issues that I think about more abstractly in a different form and connect it with different audiences and have different conversations. And so for me, it was a great opportunity to do that.
So was it your suggestion? Had you gone to Gregory and said, hey, by the way, you might want to look at me?
I'm looking at Greg. I'm trying
pretend
to remember whose idea
here.
This was. Right.
I was under the impression I begged him to do
I'd be happy to make him feel that way because I was definitely excited to do it.
Can you talk a little bit about that, though? Because I want to phrase this in a way that doesn't suggest that, Randall, you're not the most stellar actor that could ever be found for this role.
I'm happy to go ahead and present
good,
that.
Good, because that's exactly what I mean. However, you also said that part of the issue here is that you want to have racially appropriate casting and that that may be not necessarily a problem for Vermont stage companies and even for the UVM theater department, but an issue that perhaps there aren't enough actors of color to portray those roles where a black actor, for example, is called for. So, you know, without suggesting that Randall Harp was not the best actor for the gig, Gregory Ramos, how do you address that issue that there aren't enough actors of color to play these roles?
That is a very good question. It's one that we struggle with. I think a number of Vermont theaters struggle with that question because we don't have a large population of actor pool to draw from. So for this particular play, there are four characters of color in the play. I cast two students. I'll just say, part of the issue is it's not just about getting a body of color
right,
on the stage.
Right.
You want the right actor for the role. So it can be a challenge. We cast two students and we got Randall.
luckily,
yes. And I'll just say, despite what he says, he's wonderful in the play and he just brings a quality to the character that is very compelling. So we're really lucky to have him. For the other male role who serves as kind of the overall narrator character, I was pretty clear early on that we were going to need to bring in a professional actor, which we did. Jolie Garrett appeared at Vermont Stage's production of The Mountaintop a couple of seasons ago. He's done some work with Vermont Shakespeare Festival here in Vermont. So audiences knew him and he likes it here. So we were lucky to, contract him to be a part of the production. But, your question is a very, to me, it's a very troubling one. It's challenging because we want to be, responsive and responsible in terms of the content that we program. But we want to be authentic and we want to be respectful. And so it presents a lot of challenges.
Is it a problem, though? I mean, we know that Vermont is an overwhelmingly white state. So we know our demographics. We know what the population is here. Is it a problem that Vermont either A, doesn't have more actors of color? And of course, what we're talking about here is a broader sense that Vermont isn't a more diverse state to begin with. But when we talk about it in the theater, is it a problem that there aren't more actors of color or that it's a difficult draw to get actors to come to Vermont and be a part of the productions?
I think part of the question can be answered with regard to resources. I'm talking about there's some good work being done, I think, and well-meaning work. Vermont Stage's production of The Mountaintop, I mentioned a few minutes ago.
And we did a show on that when Vermont Stage Company
right.
put that on.
Right.
So it was really interesting.
Right. Jarvis Green has JAG Productions in Waterbury, and the last couple of years he's done two productions, one each year with all African-American casts. So I think there are efforts being made by theater folks here to respond to this question. And, interestingly, my experience is that audiences here crave, I don't want to use the term diverse content, but, I think we crave a variety of stories and experiences on Vermont stages. But like I said, when we bring folks from out of town, it costs money. So resources are part of the constellation of pieces that we want to answer to.
Randall, what do you think?
I do think it matters that you be able to tell a range of stories. And of course, in theater, sometimes the race of the actor makes a difference and sometimes it doesn't. Right? Sometimes it affects the story which is told and sometimes it doesn't. I think that when a story does kind of require some kind of verisimilitude, requires this fidelity to the messy way that society is, then it's important to be able to tell those stories in a way which gives them the greatest impact, and that requires you have, again, an actor pool that can support those sorts of stories. I mean, I suspect that there are going to be a lot of stories that can't be told using the actor resources that we have in Vermont just because we don't have those sorts of actors here.
And that's a problem, isn't it? I mean, if we're choosing plays or choosing artwork based on who we think is available to play those roles, and so certain stories aren't even being told because we don't have the cast members here to bring them to life, then not only is it an issue of casting, but it's an issue of whose stories are being told and whose voices are being heard in the theater.
It's always important, I think, to get as many stories as you can, and again, sometimes stories are going to be unfamiliar to an audience. And sometimes people don't know the sorts of stories that they want to hear until they see them or hear them. It's always good to be able to give people a wider range of experiences. And so to that degree, I think, yes, the more diversity of stories and experiences you can tell, the better. But that's, to some extent, that's always going to be a problem. There are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stories that can be told out there. We're never going to be able to tell all of them. But you want to tell stories which kind of do serve the interests of the population. And so in Vermont, I think there are lots of stories that would serve the interests of the population here. And, it's a very white state, but it also is a diverse state. I mean, it has its diversity as well. You want to be able to tell stories that serve that overall community, serve all the different facets of that community. And if you can't do that, then I think there is a kind of there's a loss. There's a kind of narrative loss there.
Let's go to Jean, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Jean. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I've been listening to the broadcast, and I've been very much moved because we are going to see the play on Saturday. And my wife and I are very much interested in this topic. I just wanted to make a comment and say that earlier on in the conversation, they were talking about University of Vermont and thinking about the number of people who are from out of state who have connections to their families out of state. And maybe they might be more aware of some of these questions of diversity and how it affects our society here in Vermont. But I wanted to just applaud both the director and the actor for telling us about their points of view and saying how great it is that this play is being produced, because I think it's something that we need to talk about. Our society is so very quick to go on from one story to the next, and we don't really have much time to talk about things in depth. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
Jean, thanks for your call. And I'm eager to hear what you think when you go to the production on Saturday. And I'll say now, the show actually runs October 4th through the 8th. And it's in the evenings, the 4th through the 7th at 7:30 p.m. And on the 7th and 8th, it's at 2 p.m. And I'll put those links up on the webpage for Vermont Edition at vpr.net so that you can figure out how to get to the box office and how to get your tickets if you're interested. One of the things that Jean mentions is this idea that we should be talking more about this and having these conversations. And as part of the production, Gregory, you're also staging conversations, panels, and community conversations for the audience to engage in after the performance. And there are different people for these conversations. Can you tell us about them?
Sure. There's a couple of things that we're doing. The first I'll mention is the university has what's called a Burek Distinguished Lecture Series, and we faculty can submit a proposal to bring in a guest speaker, and we did so in the theater department to bring in Ashley Lucas, who is a professor at the University of Michigan, and she heads the statewide prison arts program there. She's done some really interesting work with taking art, theater in particular, into prisons all around the world. So she is coming on Friday, And she will be doing a lecture at 4 p.m. in Royal Tyler Theater, which is open to the public. So we encourage anyone who's interested in prison arts or anything related to these topics we're talking about to come to Royal Tyler Theater. She's going to do about an hour-long lecture, and then folks who attend are invited to a reception that will happen right there in the theater. In addition to that, there are two talkback sessions that happen on Thursday night after the performance. Randall Harp, my associate here, and another professor, Stephanie Seguino, who's actually an works in the economics department, will be helping us moderate a post-show discussion. It's not really a formal discussion so much as an opportunity to let folks kind of respond to the content of the play and just, you know, see how people are feeling. I'll just say parenthetically that we've done productions in the past and have heard from our patrons that they want an opportunity to respond. So there will be two, the one I mentioned on Thursday, and then Friday after the performance, there will be another talkback. And that talkback will be moderated by Ashley Lucas, who I mentioned, a director of the Prison Arts Program at University of Michigan, along with Kathy Fox, who works in sociology and is also a board member of Vermonters for Criminal Justice Reform. So those are the kind of three events we want to get on the radar of anyone listening. The Burek talk at 4 p.m. on Friday, the talkback on Thursday after the performance, and the talkback on Friday after the performance.
Randall, if you're going to be participating in one of those talkbacks and sort of donning your hat again as a professor instead of an actor, what are you hoping for from the audience members? I mean, they have certain things that they expect to get from actors, a professional performance, something that's entertaining and thought-provoking. But you probably have some demands on the audience, too, for, you know, to engage with the material and grapple with it.
Sure. I mean, I don't think that I'll have my lecturer hat on, certainly, for that discussion. I mean, I view my job there as just kind of moderating the discussion. So certainly, you know, I'll have ideas about things. But, you know, there's a the entire cast will be available, so it'll be a good opportunity also for some of the other cast members to share their thoughts about their characters, about the process, and really just kind of getting ideas and engaging with the audience. I think that when people have questions or thoughts about what's going on, or people want to react to what they saw, or when people just want to kind of process together that artistic experience, what happens next, I think it's a good venue to do that. It's good, it's always good, I think, for actors to talk with the audience and vice versa. So that should be a good experience. I don't have an agenda personally for that. When I teach my classes, then I certainly have more of an agenda. If you want to kind of sit in my classes, that's fine. But I don't intend to do that for the talkbacks, for sure.
No homework. Well, Randall, as they say in the theater, break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Randall Harp plays Robert Earl Hayes in The Exonerated and is a philosophy professor at UVM. Gregory Ramos is chair of UVM's theater department and director of the production, The Exonerated. Gregory, I hope it all goes off without a hitch.
Thank you. We're really, I've been very lucky to work on the play. And I just want to say quickly in closing that although the play grapples with some very serious issues, I think for me, ultimately, at base, the play is really a testament to the human spirit and how we overcome challenges, some of the most grave challenges, and how we as a society need to come together to answer collectively to the challenges that are posed for us. And so ultimately, I think it's a very hopeful and hopefully positive experience for the audience.
Well, listeners, if you're interested, the show runs October 4th through the 7th at 7:30 p.m. and October 7th and 8th at 2 p.m. And again, we'll put a link to the box office at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition.